Does the economy have you worried? I know that the words inflation and recession have been hot topics in several small business groups that I'm in. And I know that people are worried. So today, Jess Van Den of Create and Thrive joins me to talk about how small businesses, particularly in the handmade space, can prepare for and survive through these types of economic downturns. Jess is the founder of Create and Thrive, a community for handmade product makers where she teaches them how to craft the business they've dreamed of. Since 2013, Jess has helped thousands of makers to create a thriving and profitable handmade business. Jess teaches what she knows. She owns and operates a successful jewelry business selling online and wholesale to shops. On today's episode, Jess shares how she accidentally started two businesses with a startup story that is oddly similar to my own. Then we dove into talking about recession, inflation, and what business owners can do to adapt during these times. We specifically talk about ways to diversify your revenue streams, why you need to be auditing your expenses, and the importance of surrounding yourself with a trusted community. Today's episode is brought to you by our Proof Your Product Labs program. If you are looking to strengthen your business foundation and are looking for coaching and a trusted community for support, head to proofyourproduct.com/labs. Our vault of on-demand trainings run deep, but the incredible community, the connections, and the collaborations are like no other. If you sell physical products, come join us. This is a space that was intentionally built just for you. Again, that's proofyourproduct.com/labs. I'm Katie Hunt, wholesale expert, business strategist, and mom of four. I'm also the host of the Proof to Product podcast. I'm on a mission to empower product-based business owners to confidently grow their revenue in their own way and at their own pace. Here at Proof to Product, you'll learn new strategies, find inspiration, and action steps to help you start, streamline, and scale your product-based business. So grab your favorite notebook to take notes and let's get started. Hey, Jess, welcome to Proof to Product.
Thank you so much for having me, Katie. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you. For our listeners, we just had a chat on Jess's podcast here and we're doing a back-to-back interview. So I'm really excited to have her on the show. You know, Jess, I know that you have a motto about how taking an unconventional path may lead you to a more fulfilled life. Can you share more about your background and what that what that unconventional path looked like for you?
Yeah, absolutely. So my background, I have a science degree and a teaching degree. So I originally, back in the day, was a teacher, and then I ended up working as a science communicator for a while. Basically, long story short, I never ever intended to have a business or be in business or run a business. That was like the last thing that I ever expected to do with my life. So it was kind of an accident how this all came about. Basically, I started making craft after reading a novel on a holiday. And the novel, it's called The Friday Night Knitting Club. And it was just somebody gave it to me and I read it. And something about like how she talked about craft in there and making stuff. And, you know, when you're a teacher, when you work in education, it's a wonderful career and a wonderful job, but you never finish anything. You know, you're always just a little bit, you're a little part of the process, right? But when you craft something with your hands and you create a finished product, there's this sense of fulfillment that comes with that. It's like, wow, I can't believe I made that. And so I just started making stuff for fun and sort of ended up in the jewelry section of Spotlight, which is like our, you know, big craft store. Thought, oh, I'll start making some of this. And then a few months later, I had made so much jewelry and I'm like, what am I going to do? I don't even wear that much jewelry. So I'm like, well, you know, I'd been in tangent with this. I had been like in love with the internet and making websites for fun since I was a teenager in the 90s.
Okay.
And so I always kind of had this weird dream in my head that, oh, one day maybe I'll make a website that'll be successful or make some money or something. But, you know, it was kind of like as if that's possible, you know. So I thought, well, I'll see if I can sell some of this jewelry. And I stumbled on this site called Etsy. And I was like, wow, this looks good. Like, this is in 2008, everybody. Etsy had only been going for about, I think, 2 years by this point.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, this sounds great to me because I have a full-time job. I don't like getting up early in the mornings to, like, schlep off to a market on the weekend. And I'm comfortable with everything online. So let's try to sell some stuff online. So I started doing that. And I still remember, I think about a month, it was about a month after I opened my shop, I got my first sale. I still remember that moment, getting that email, somebody paid $10 for a pair of earrings. And I'm like, oh my God, somebody has decided to give me money for something I've created. This is amazing.
Oh, I love this story. 2008 was when I hopped on Etsy too for the first time. And I'm like, I remember waiting for a couple of weeks and just feeling like, oh my gosh, somebody wants something I'm making. This is amazing. That joy that, yes, you know, a hobby then became a business. And it was like this instinct that I knew, okay, this, we're onto something here. So yeah, sounds like you knew the same. So you started your jewelry business in 2008. When did you start coaching other product-based business owners?
I would say officially in 2013 is when I started my business, Create and Thrive. But before that, probably for a couple of years, I'd been like, you know, people had been asking me questions. I think I'd run a little e-course off my, you know, I had a blog called Ethereal Designs where I sort of would teach a little bit. Like I'd share, I basically was sharing what I was learning as I was going, because I had no idea either. Like I had, I had been working when I sort of switched, I had worked for a tuition center. So I had actually been taught a little bit of business skills at that point, like a bit of sales and stuff. So I sort of had some idea of what I was doing, and people just kept asking me the same stuff. And I'm like, what am I going to do? So what I did is I came up with an e-course called Set Up Shop, which I still run to this day. So it's its 10th anniversary next year.
Amazing.
And I was like, well, I have my jewelry sort of brand over here, and then I have this e-course I want to run. I should just start a whole nother business around this, like the teaching side of things, right? And that's how Create and Thrive was born. It was actually born out of, I want to run this course and I'm going to create a business around it. And then everything sort of ballooned from there. And I have the podcast and the membership and other courses and, you know, all of those sorts of things that pop up as you start to teach online. So it kind of all sort of accidentally happened. And then when I went full time with the jewelry business, it just, which was again an accident. I didn't intend to do it. And then it happened, and then it was awesome. And then I'm just kind of rolled with it from there. And I've been self-employed since 2010.
I love it. I love it. We have so many. So I know we talked about this earlier offline, but we have so many similarities between our stories and how we had corporate jobs and started in our product world. And oh, it's really fascinating to learn more about you. Okay. So let's talk about the businesses that you help, the other product businesses that you help. What types of businesses are they? And at what stage of business growth do you support them?
Okay. So I have people from all different sort of art craft backgrounds, you know, jewelers, knitters, even these days, you know, some designers of printables and things like that. Mm-hmm. That's not a big part of my market though. I'm more working with the people who do work with their hands still and craft sort of their own creations. And a lot of people obviously come to me in the beginning stages because that's when they're really looking for help. Yeah. I do have some people who have been with me for a very long time because you never stop learning. we never stop learning. Nobody ever stops. And because there's always changes, you know, things are always changing in the world. I think the last few years has been a great example of how the world can just throw a bomb on you and you have no idea what has happened. Basically, yeah, most people kind of come to me in that mid to developmental stage. And I really love that, helping people in that stage, because you see so many aha moments, so much progress, so much growth. You know, that's what Set Up Shop, my flagship course, is all about, is that element of, you know, setting up a shop online and all the, you know, people think it's, there's just like, oh, you just open an Etsy shop and put some stuff in there and press play. And it's so much, there's so much more to it than that. And there's so much you need to know and learn. And I love teaching that, because I love my life that I've managed to build from having it, that business. And I really want to help other people do that as well.
Oh, I love that, Jess. I agree with you. That phase of business is really fun to mentor, because you do see such large transformations in their growth as individuals and business owners, as well as their product line. You know, one of the reasons I wanted to bring you on was to talk about, you know, at the time of recording this in December, we're technically two quarters into a recession, and we've already seen some waves of how the economic downturn is starting to affect small businesses, and particularly those in the product space. And so I want to hear from you how this is affecting handmade businesses in particular. Is this something your community is worrying about currently?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, here in Australia, I think it's pretty similar. In the States, you know, we don't technically, I think, have a recession here, but it's pretty close. We have inflation. The last few years through the pandemic, house prices absolutely went through the roof. Mm-hmm. So rental prices are up hugely. The interest rates have just started going up, like on a huge upward curve. So people's mortgages are getting so much more expensive than they were just 6 months ago. So basically what that means for us as small business owners, not only may our own personal life expenses be going up, but so are those of our customers. Yeah. And if we're making products that aren't necessities, which let's be honest, most of us are, then there's less money to go around. There's less money for people to spend on our products. And so that is, I think, definitely having an impact. I've seen it in my own business. I've seen it in my students' businesses. You know, obviously it depends on what you make. There are some businesses that are doing gangbusters, but a lot of people are seeing a downturn because of that sort of financial situation that everybody's finding themselves in at the moment. And I will add to that, another issue is that during the pandemic, a lot of people started businesses and thought that the sort of sales they were getting during the pandemic were normal, because mm-hmm. The problem, of course, is that everybody, well, you know, in a lot of places were locked down or couldn't go out to shops. And so they were shopping online in a way that they never had before. And in one way, that's beautiful and wonderful, because I think it exposed a lot of people to online shopping who never had done it before and weren't comfortable with it. Now everyone's comfortable with it. They had to become comfortable with it. So I think that's going to have a positive flow through effect in the long term, in that more people will be shopping online. But also now a lot of people are going back out to work. They're going back out and going back to malls. They're going to shopping in person again because it's exciting. They can do it now in a way that they couldn't before. And so those of us who are focused on online sales, a lot of people are seeing a downturn in that and thinking, wow, what's happening? And it's like, we're just kind of going back to a baseline that we were at before the pandemic. But now there's like 11 billion more sellers online. So much more competition. So, yeah. You know, we're seeing all the impact of all of those things happening.
Totally. I'm chuckling at your number, 11 billion. I like it. No, I wholeheartedly agree with you. I also think I was going to mention, until you did, the uptick in business owners joining the ranks of online business, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and I think it's wonderful. I think it's spurred creativity and all of that, but it has created some unrealistic expectations. And so now we're recalibrating. That's what I keep saying to people. I'm like, 2023, we're recalibrating. 2022 mm-hmm. was some of the recalibrating as well. Yeah. You know, what are you advising your community of handmade business owners to do to more easily weather this recession?
Okay. Well, there's a lot of things you can do. Like there's the nitty gritty obvious stuff, but let's start big picture. Having multiple streams of income is always a great thing to do, no matter what. Yep. Like I don't care when you have asked me this question in the past. Like if you're selling online, don't put all your eggs in one basket is the first thing I would say. Yes, Etsy is fantastic. I'm a total fan of Etsy. They're not perfect. They have their problems, but they are the premier online handmade marketplace, especially in the States. For those of you listening, you know, if you're in Europe and England and other countries, there are like local like versions of Etsy, basically. I would advise you to be on both of those if you can. You know, if there is a good local sort of online handmade marketplace, be on there, be on Etsy, have your own website. You know, I'm a huge believer in having your own real estate online that you own and you control. You know, you don't have to do it in an expensive way. You know, a lot of people use Shopify. That's great. Shopify is great because it does all the back end stuff for you. Yes, you have to pay a bit of a fee for that. But there are other options out there and other sort of cheaper ways you can get started with a website and maybe upgrade in the future to Shopify or something like that, if that's what you want to do, or Squarespace, whatever. There's plenty of options. So diversifying, you know, maybe we have to push ourselves a bit out of our comfort zone and do things that perhaps we wouldn't have done previously, like do markets, doing trade shows, getting into the wholesale market, getting on, I don't know, Facebook and Instagram and the sort of marketplace areas in those apps or TikTok or whatever it might be, sort of trying new ways to get your stuff out there in front and get it in front of people. I think, you know, especially people like me who've been in business for a long time, you can get a little bit lazy, let's be honest. You can get a little bit complacent about things. You're like, this is ticking along. It's going great. Fantastic. But the pandemic and now the post-pandemic has kind of blown that up a little bit, in that things have changed, things have shifted, and you might have to try different things that you hadn't tried before in order to reach new customers or reach customers that you weren't previously. So that's one thing that you can do, is that diversification, not only in where you're selling your work, but also what you're doing. Like there's no harm or shame or any negativity in teaching, for example, or, you know, running workshops, local workshops. People are loving that now. They're loving getting back out in socializing with their friends. Take advantage of that. You know, you know your craft, to help other people. And if you find, you know, teaching in person, the idea overwhelming, and I understand a lot of people do, what about, you know, teaching online, you know, joining, you know, one of those online teaching platforms, Teachable or Lessonly or whatever, putting a video up of showing you, or even heck, start a YouTube channel, you know, and do videos showing how to do your craft. Now, a lot of people, when I say that sort of thing, like, oh, but I'm giving away secrets. You're not really, because the people who are going to learn from you and make their own stuff, we're never going to be your customers anyway. And the people, a lot of people love just watching that sort of stuff. They're not going to ever do it. They just enjoy watching people creating and making and learning. And then they'll go like, I wonder who this person is. Let's look at their website. And then they might end up buying from you. So there's so many different ways that you could potentially be leveraging your skills to bring in new streams of income.
Absolutely. So, yeah. I love that, Jess. Okay. So on one hand we have, you know, expansion and diversification. What about the flip side of that? Are you advising people to kind of watch their expenses are they altering their products? Like, what are you advising there?
Well, yes, I think the first thing, you know, to look at, and I think I did a whole video on this recently, is like little ways to cut the fat in your expenses, right? So, you know, are you buying your stuff? Are you buying your stock wholesale, like your materials? Are you buying your packaging materials wholesale? Yes, it seems like a bit more of an upfront cost, but in the long run, you're saving money. So things like that, like try to buy in bulk, try to buy wholesale to reduce your costs. Same thing when it comes to your online expenses. You have to audit them. You know, I'd say do an audit of them. Look at all the, and you have to like look at a whole year, right? Because some things are only annual subscriptions. So go back over the past year of what you've spent on your business. Look at all of the things you're spending money on and decide, is this still serving me? Is this still adding value and allowing me to become more profitable? Or is it actually just sucking money away that I don't need to be spending? And do this in your personal life as well, people. Don't just do it in your business life. Like, have you got 5 different streaming service subscriptions, but you only use 2 of them? Like, get rid of them. You don't need them, you know? And it's so easy, because those things are like little amounts of money each month, and it's so easy to just kind of ignore them. But at the end of the day, you know, if we're being smart with our money, then, you know, we need to look at not only our business expenses, but also our personal expenses, because most of us are sole traders or whatever, you know, and the two things are very intertwined. Definitely cutting the costs, but don't cut the costs so much that you cut off your nose to spite your face. Like, it still costs money to make money. Mm-hmm. And this is a big bugbear of mine when I see people complaining about like, oh, the fees on Etsy or whatever. You can't sell stuff without spending money in some way, shape or form, because, you know, you have to get the things, you have to sell the things, you have to pay a payment processor. You know, there's no way around spending a bit of money, but it's about spending it wisely and spending it in the right places that will actually give you the best return on that investment, because it's an investment. And that's what you need to think of it as. Like, all the money you spend on your business, it's an investment in the future of your business and the growth of your business. So decide whether you're making the right investments. And that is, I think, an incredibly important thing to do right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Jess, I'm chuckling over here on my side, because we're so in alignment in what we talk about and how we speak about it, because I too agree with you on, we have to spend some money to make money. And a couple areas you already mentioned were, you know, sales or some of these technology pieces that really do allow us to amplify who we're reaching and how we're selling our product and the customer journey that our customers experience when they purchase from us. And those are things that we don't want to sacrifice on. Mm. We don't want our customer experience to be terrible because then people won't come back and buy more from us. So making these upfront investments to then solidify that customer as a repeat customer or telling their friends and referring people to come back. You know, those are important things to, we want to invest wisely, as you stated. Mm-hmm. And I think those are all great examples that you provided. I also wanted to make a note for our listeners here that on episode 263, I did talk about things that product-based business owners can do to prepare for the recession. And one of the things I talked about, and I want to get Jess's input here too. One of the things I talked about is that this is not the time to isolate ourselves. We need to surround ourselves with industry leaders and colleagues so that we can see what's working, what's not working. We can identify trends before they're even really happening. And then that affords us the ability to make changes quickly when we need to. And I find, and I'm curious what your take is on this too, but I find that so many of my students are working in a silo without the support of a community or even coaching. And so when that's the case, they lack perspective about how their business fits into the larger scope of the industry, or it's sometimes harder for them to make strategic decisions. But when we surround ourselves with community, when we join membership programs or coaching programs or even a course, we get like a wider viewpoint that informs our own personal decisions. Do you agree with this? Are you seeing similar things?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I think it's really important to have a community and have colleagues around you who are going through what you're going through and people that you can bounce ideas off, that you can ask, hey, how's things for you? And look, we see a lot of this in like free Facebook groups and forums and stuff like that. And yes, that can be valuable, but I think it's really good to have a community of trust, you know, somewhere mm-hmm. that you can be honest about what's going on, and you trust the people in there not to just, you know, be cruel or to, you know, not understand what you're going through because they're in the same boat. They've committed to doing what they're doing. I mean, that's why I started the Thriver Circle, my membership, all the way back in 2015, because I know when I started my business, I had this wonderful, back then it was an Etsy team, this wonderful group of women who just supported each other, and they taught me so much and they were so helpful, and just learning from people who were that little bit ahead of you, mm-hmm. who, you know, but not like leagues ahead of you. And then you can help teach them. And just that rapport and that community is really, really helpful, especially when times are tough, because yep. you know, you're like, oh my God, are you going through this too? You can get that reassurance that it's not just you. I think that's a big problem a lot of people have, is that, you know, you see your sales are down a bit, or, you know, your traffic's down a bit, or your conversions are down, and you're like, what's happening? Like, this, no, I haven't changed anything. Why is this happening? And by, you know, having that community around you, you can tap into other people and go, is this happening to you too? And then you start to realize, oh, there's something else going on here. It's not necessarily a me problem, although you still have to take responsibility for doing what you can do to change things. Yep. You are then aware of the larger picture, and you can adjust and change tack to, like, basically just go with that and make sure you're doing the best you can, rather than sticking your head in the sand and going, it'll be fine, everything will be fine, I don't have to change anything, I'm not doing anything wrong. And you're probably not doing anything wrong per se, but you have to be willing to change. You know, the old saying, the only constant is change, I think is very true. You never step in the same river twice. It's always flowing, it's always moving, it's always changing. And you have to be willing to adapt to mm-hmm. the environment you find yourself in and the changes that are happening around you. And you can't be ignorant of those, because they will have a big impact. And you might be able to weather it in the short term, but as time goes on, the more and more things will change, and the more you have to adjust to change with them. I'll use a funny example here. I was looking back, because Katie and I have just done our dual podcast, I was looking back through her history, and you made a joke in your timeline about, you know, the days before Instagram and Facebook, where, you know, we blogged, because that's how we connected with people, and people talked in the blog comments. And that's where communities were built back in yes. the olden days of the internet.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
You know, but, and if we had just kept doing that, if we hadn't gone, okay, well, I'm going to get on Instagram, I'm going to get on Facebook, I'm going to start a podcast, because that's what's happening for me. Like, I've gotten into YouTube the last few years. if you're not willing to make those changes, like our businesses would have just died because we weren't moving with the times. We weren't evolving with how the environment around us is evolving. And it's so important to do that in a way, still in a way that's authentic and truth to you.
Yes.
Like, it's okay. You don't have to be on all of the social platforms. You know, you don't have to be doing it that way, but you have to find where your people are and connect with them.
Absolutely.
Where they are.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm over here nodding ferociously. Yes. Yes, I agree, Jess. I love it. Okay. This has been super helpful. I love hearing your perspective and your advice to your community members. I'd love to hear too, what's next for Create and Thrive? What are you working on that you want our audience to know about?
Yeah, well, I'm really focused this year on teaching as much as I can through YouTube and really helping to reach more people, because I have a passion, and I know you do too, a passion for reaching people and helping people where they are and making sure that they're learning what they need to learn to move forward. Of course, next year I'll be running, you know, my Setup Shop course as well, as I always do. But then the next thing that's coming up in January is actually the Hair Maybes Bootcamp, which I run in January. And that's just like a 3-week intensive planning where I have a planning method called the top three priorities planning method, where I just help you, you know, get your vision straight and then break things down and move towards the new year with a sense of focus and clarity about what you actually want to achieve. That's happening in January inside the Thriver Circle. So that's what I'm focused on at the moment, just getting that ready to rock and roll and work with my students and helping them have the best year they can, the best 2023 that they can for their business.
I love that. Okay. Well, tell everybody where they can find out more about you, where they can listen to your podcast and check out the programs you've talked about.
Yeah, just head on over to createandthrive.com. That is where you can find my podcast, YouTube, links to my membership and courses and everything else. And I'm the same on Instagram at createandthrive. Say hello, tell me that you listen to the show. I'd love to hear from you. If you are in, you know, wanting to get started on Etsy, I have some really great free resources for you, including my Etsy Quick Start Guide, which is a little checklist that like will help you make sure you're not missing any of the important steps in getting started with an Etsy shop. And you can find that at createandthrive.com/start-here.
Awesome. We will include all those links in the show notes so people can find them. And Jess, it's just a pleasure to connect with you. And I know our stories align so well, but the impact that you're having with your product makers is just really remarkable. So congratulations to you on all your success and the impact that you're making in the world. Thank you for coming on our show to share your knowledge with us too.
Thank you so much, Katie. It's been a pleasure.
A big thanks to Jess for joining us today. It was great to hear how others are navigating the ups and downs, and Jess has particular expertise with the handmade market, so it's helpful to hear her take on things. If you haven't already, I do want to encourage you to go back and listen to episode 236 of the Proof to Product podcast. That is where I offer some additional suggestions on how to prepare your product-based business for the recession that we're currently facing. So again, that's episode 236, and we'll put that in the show notes too. Also, I know we have talked about having a trusted circle of peers in this episode. If you are seeking that type of community that includes coaching by industry experts, I want you to look into our Proof to Product Labs program. This space was built specifically for brands that make and sell physical products. And we talk about all sides of the business: production, sales, marketing, hiring, money management, and more. All of the things that you need to grow a strong business. So get more info at proof2product.com/labs. Thank you so much for listening until the end today. I'll be back next week with a new episode.